shine, little Glover, glimmer, glimmer, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite gardener. It's Lance Swaggart. Good evening, Lance.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How about you?
Good.
Good.
Little sunburn.
You are a little bit sunburned. Yeah. Is that wind or it's actually sun?
It's actually sun and it's, you know, pruning time, looking straight up in the sun. And,
right.
And actually I was hauling brush, which was looking down at the snow.
It's got a double whammy going. Yeah, it's feeling good out there. Mm-hmm. Some sunshine today. And I have to say that I love how the temperatures are kind of staying in this constant zone of feeling like winter this year.
Yeah.
A lot different than last year.
Yeah. No, it's cooler and snow's staying there. Good.
Yeah, snow's staying there. So I hope everybody left the leaves there this year because they will break down.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised on my mulberries. I leave the leaves and they're already gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They had the snow. So you've had some meltage there? Or?
Yeah. For some reason, the snow all melted underneath the mulberries and there's hardly a leaf there. So that snow sitting up top of the leaves made it quite available for the bacteria, the worms, and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Break them all down and pull them into the ground.
It's quite a little magical little forest you have going there, Lance, I have to say. All right. It is a live call-in show coming to you live from Paonia, Colorado. 970-527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. And you can email worm@kvnf.org. That's semi-live. And we do have an email from one of our loyal listeners. It's Marilyn. And Marilyn wants to ask you, Lance, about saving seeds from rutabagas. So right in line with our seed-saving talks. She's planting them for the first time this spring and wants to grow enough to save seeds. Save seeds. And so she wants to know how many does she need to plant for seeds? And if she piles on the mulch deep, can she overwinter them in the garden, which are raised beds?
Well, the more the better is always the
More the better with seed saving. Yeah.
Seed saving. The minimum is probably, if it's just for yourself, 10 to 25.
Okay.
But if you're growing and selling and stuff. But anyways, she's just got a home garden. 10 to 25 would be good enough. I think you can let them, but what I would do, because, you know, half of it is sticking out of the ground. So I would actually cover it with dirt first and then mulch it.
Okay. So actually cover the whole thing and then mulch on top.
Yeah.
And then that will.
The only problem after that is if the voles get in there and eat them.
Yes, voles.
Voles. So that was they're in the brassica family, but because I remember this from looking 2 weeks ago, they are not in the same subclass as the broccoli and cauliflower and kale and stuff. So they won't cross with those guys.
Oh, right. We just were talking about the crossing of brassica. So find a plant rutabaga around those guys.
Well, if you're letting those guys go to seed, they're not going to cross-pollinate with the rutabaga. And I'm just trying to think if, you know, I've never grown rutabagas. Well, I have in the past for other people. I've never grown them for myself. But it seems like that they take a long time to germinate. So be patient. We're looking like three weeks. They're very slow growing. So, you know, I know you're going to plant them for a fall crop. But you're not going to plant them in mid-July. You're going to plant them in May.
Oh, my goodness.
They're very slow.
They're very early.
Yeah, you're going to plant them in early to mid-May. And like I said, they're very slow growing, and it won't be till July that you start seeing some rutabagas.
Okay.
And if there's anybody else, I know there's other people that grow rutabagas. Yeah. If they have any growing tips, you can call us up and let us know.
That would be great. I love that people are growing rutabagas.
Swedes.
Yes, they do. 970-527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. And thanks to Marilyn, she can't listen live tonight, so she'll catch the podcast.
Great.
Yeah, you can find that on the KVNF.org.
website. Oh, and just one other thing. Since that's a root crop, you're going to take the seeds from the lower part of the plant, not the tips.
Okay.
You want to develop more root stuff, so that's what you want.
Right. That's one of the tricks is where you take the seed from the plant once it has gone to seed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're going to – you might have to – I suspect they're indeterminate. In other words, they just keep on growing as long as they got water and they haven't been frozen solid.
Sure.
So at some point, you will cut the higher tips off. Just cut them off and let those lower branches mature the seed.
Okay.
And you might have to – yeah, that will be next year, though.
Right, right. And then you'll have that lower piece to – it'll be obvious that that's what you want to harvest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And these could be some of the tips that you could learn in your seed – program that's coming up, that 9-month seed program that you can find information at thelearningcouncil.org or at VOGA.
Or Slow Foods.
Or Slow Foods.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's happening the third Wednesday of every month.
First Wednesday.
Oh, the first.
The first Wednesday of every month.
Yeah. Okay. We'll double check that. Don, where are you?
No, I talked to Don today.
Okay. So the first Wednesday of every month.
Yeah.
And
March 6th
is the first thing, and that's when the seed swap's happening. And
that evening is a seed swap and a seed panel,
but
we'll still be doing the day-long workshop.
Okay.
And from what I understand, talking to Don, there might be some representatives of a seed company, high-altitude seed company, that's going to be there in March.
Okay, great.
The March thing, so they're going to talk about what they're doing and stuff.
Wow, that sounds like a great way to kick it
and
off.
They're based in Denver, so they're going to come over from Denver to do that.
Wow, nice. Thank you to everyone for putting that together. That's coming together nicely. All right, so we've been talking seed saving, and we'll be going in and out of seed saving, but we started a little bit on pruning last week.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you were last week pruning, was it apricots or plums?
I did apricots and plums in the yard. And that's and I just finished some of those today, and I've been doing apples, and I actually did a sweet cherry today.
Oh, that's really is that early or is that just right on time?
No, the general thing is if you have a yard, and you would start with apples, and then you would do pears. These are the hardier guys, and then you might go into cherries and apricots, then plums. You do the peaches in March. And I've already seen some peach orchards already pruned.
Okay.
So, the thing with doing peaches early is if it gets really cold, that cold can go down into that fresh cut from pruning and kill the branch down a little bit farther.
Oh, okay.
And that's really the only thing that could happen there.
Yeah, so that's... Boy, everything's coming right up. I mean, we're right in the midst of it, really.
Yeah, you better stay on top. I'm going to stay on top. It's like, oh, my God. Somebody asked me today if I've been skiing lately. I says, no. She goes, you better go. And I says, yeah.
You better before pruning season starts.
No, it's already started.
Yeah.
And then you wait till grapes till April.
Okay.
And this is just an aside. I was at a place on Pitka Mesa.
Yeah.
And the people wanted me to prune the grapes in the springtime, and I just happened to glance over, and somebody had already pruned them in the fall, and pruned them not even correctly. There wasn't even buds left.
Oh no!
So we will see. This is going to be a test. I'm going to report on this all next
the
season.
Fall pruning.
Fall pruning to see the plant's not going to be dead, but it's going to have to reshoot everything, resprout everything, and there probably won't be any grapes on that because there's
no growth
there's no new or viable buds that are gonna they're in survival mode.
Okay.
And they're gonna just have to regrow. There might be some grapes.
Wow.
But the way it was pruned back is pretty devastating.
Heavens. And just pruning in general on a grapevine, and you don't want to do that in the fall.
No. Mm-hmm. No. The only thing you would do, and I've seen this done even now, say you need to get in there on the grapevines early. Well, you would prune them, but not down to where they need to be. Just get the lanky vines out of the way. Say you got to do some extra work. Maybe you got to replace a post. or do some
This is happening in the fall.
Fall or when you're winter.
Harvesting-ish.
Yeah, and you see some things that you need to do.
Maintenance, kind of.
You don't prune the grapevine all the way back down to the two buds. You cut it down, and then there might be 4 to 6 buds left.
Okay, so a little aggressive pruning on that. But like you say, it's a good experiment. You get to monitor that and see what happens.
Yeah, and these guys, I think they have them on a fence around a garden area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's only 3 vines. I'd have to go in and check, but I think those vines are like 20 and 30 feet long.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
Wow. Well, maybe there's just a lot of old growth in there. Who knows what the situation was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was in good health. So it's going to come back, but it's not. It'll be interesting to see how it comes back.
Right, exactly. All right, so we're going to wait on the grapes and... let me give the phone numbers.
Sure.
527-4868. 866-KVNF now, and we will check the email.
Yeah.
Lance is high-tech over there. He's got his glasses on.
Yeah, that's about the extent of it. It's all in my
pressing
mind.
All the buttons. Virtual reality.
Yeah. But anyway, so you generally speaking, you start with apples. Yeah, and most things now are... semi-dwarfs. Very few people are planting standards. And if you want a standard tree, just plant the graft below ground and you'll get a standard tree because that's the apple tree, the Golden Delicious or the Red Delicious or the Granny is still itself is still a standard. It's just grafted onto dwarfing rootstock.
Oh.
So if you bury the graft and you part of that new that apple that you're actually going to get will grow roots out right at the graft and it will become a standard tree.
Gotcha. You know? Interesting.
Yeah. So you want to make sure that graft is an inch above the ground. And
so that you get the dwarf characteristics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to do that. And I read about this a while ago and different apples bloom on different parts of the tree. Some bloom out at the tip, some in the mid-range, and some right around the central.
Okay.
So you got to find out what kind of apple you have and where it blooms.
And before you prune.
Yeah, before you prune.
Because that's going to make a difference on where on the branch you go.
Yeah.
And so when you say kind of apple, what? Are you
variety.
Variety of apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that most varieties then... will have one of those blooming zones, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and they're going to bloom in all parts, but they've got a specific part that they bloom the most in.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and again, they would rather have younger wood over older wood. Now, the apples and pears will bloom on old wood, but they do much better on the younger wood, which would be last year's growth.
Last year's growth.
Yeah.
Right.
And just look around at the orchards and see what they're leaving.
Exactly. That's a really good way to do it. And then look at your own tree and see what you have there and how you might be able to prune that up.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we were talking about is just that whole shaping of a tree when you're pruning. And you were talking about natural shape.
Natural shape, yeah.
Just, form.
You can watch that, stand back and look, and you can actually see the growth habits. And what you're going to do is you want to have that natural growth habit. But you want it a little bit thinned so you can get in there with your ladder. They used to call, in the old standard trees, it was called ladder throws. They actually pruned it so that you can get the ladder in.
Oh, interesting.
It was part of the pruning process.
Wow.
And you still can do that with the semi-dwarfs because you're still going to get up, you're still going to be on a 10-foot ladder.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You need to be able to get in there. Now, my fruit trees, I mentioned last week about please give the trees space. Well, my trees are a little too close. You know, they're 12 foot and they should have been 15.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And so there are some that are big enough that they're sort of a hassle when they're touching to get in there.
Right. So there you are.
Yeah.
Take your own advice on that, right?
Yeah.
Well, and you never think about it when you're planting, but it happens so fast, then pretty soon everything's crowded. And,
Yeah. But, the ladder throws is one. And also, I mentioned colors. I always mention colors. That's this. If you look at a branch coming off of the older, I don't know what they call them, but the older branch, and a branch will come off, and it'll have this collar that's more on the top part of the branch.
Like a little nub.
Line there. Mm-hmm. You want to leave that because that's what's going to heal the cut.
Oh, and so you are pruning above the collar.
Yeah, just beyond it, I think, at most an eighth of an inch. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's actually – and some branches don't have it, but most of them do that you're pruning.
Right, on fruit trees.
On fruit trees. Well, even ornamentals. Well, ornamental trees will have the collar.
Okay.
And that's what the plant – that's the growth spurt that will heal that cut.
Okay.
So leave it.
Leave it there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It does look kind of hefty, like it would be essential to the plant.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're looking at it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just look at the plant, it's kind of common sense as to what, if you were the plant, what you would need.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. So anyways, but you want to leave a balance of old wood and new wood. And the older wood is the branches holding up the new suckers.
Right.
You know, and you just need to, you'll eventually figure it out. It's hard to talk about on the radio. It's really a hands-on thing, but it does. And what you're doing is you're pruning for 2 years.
2 years out.
Yeah, you're pruning for this year's crop. But if you don't prune enough, then there won't be any new growth for next year.
Right. So, that's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And so because you need to have new growth, which is going to be the most productive.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a balance in there. And it takes practice.
Yeah, right.
And I was just going down Matthews Lane in that pear's orchard there. And they were using scaffolding and a PTO pruners.
Another PTO pruner.
Hydraulic pruners using the PTO power takeoff off the tractor.
Oh, really?
Okay. And they were standing on a scaffolding. And they had these poles. And I didn't see if it – sometimes it's a little – blade that spins, and sometimes it's just a pruner that you grab the thing and it cuts off, you know, wherever. I'm just looking at me personally, I would have pruned off a little bit more.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really, well, the term is hairy. But those are old standard pears.
Mm-hmm. Those are old pears.
Yeah,
there.
They're very big old pears. And if you prune too much, as I mentioned, then they just grow more.
Yeah,
so
right.
So maybe on an older tree, you want to leave a little bit more on so it doesn't grow so much.
Right. All right, that's good to know. And kind of some exciting stuff going on in the valley.
Yeah.
You can see some pruning actually happening at all the different orchards. Just look over there.
Yeah, well, I've been, of all things, taking an orchard out. An old apple orchard that's 75 years old. And we took a couple rows out, about 35 trees or so. And they're actually going to pull the stumps out tomorrow.
Oh, really?
These people. And they're going to plant, I think, 600 or so heirloom heritage apples.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're going to trellis them.
Oh, okay. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah. And I don't know the system they're using or anything, so I will be watching that.
So how old was this orchard?
75 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you chop everything down, and then the stumps are the last thing to come out? Or okay.
Yeah, you have to leave the stumps so the backhoe guy can have something to grab on to pull them out.
Right.
But that will be interesting to watch. And I don't know what kind of heirloom heritage apples they got.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, sounds fun.
But after, you know, people get mad when you take out an orchard, but apple trees produce good for about 75 years.
Okay.
Now they can live 150, 200, even longer.
Right.
But that's their thing. So,
actual production.
And then you're losing at that.
Mm-hmm.
Peaches last about 25 to 35 years.
Wow, that's not a long time.
No. Grapes can last longer. Apricots can last long. Cherry trees, they can go for the sweet cherries, not the sour cherries.
Okay.
You know, two different things there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know? So if you got, and it's sort of fun to have these big old trees.
It is fun to have them.
Yeah. There's one on Cedar Ridge right on the main drag. No irrigation. It's gravel all around it. It blooms and has fruit almost every year.
It's a cherry tree?
No, it's an apricot.
Oh, it's an apricot. Really?
And it probably has a 2 foot a diameter trunk.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, you wouldn't know it looking at it. It just looks like this beastly old tree. But
well, that's a little bit of that whole foresting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not trellising. What is that called? Just the stages of that, you know, the undergrowth and the...
Oh, yeah, the understory, the midstory,
right,
and then the topiary story.
Right,
and
exactly.
That's what that tree is, probably 35, 40 feet tall.
Yeah.
You know, and...
like it.
That's the kind you get the sign wood from, you know, for grafting.
Uh-huh, right.
Yeah.
Right. All right, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. So talking about trellising this orchard that's going in and replacing the old apple orchard, there's all kinds of techniques for doing that. And one of the things we talked about, I think last year with Jer from Earth Friendly Farm and Supply, is the espalier technique.
Well, espalier, and he was doing cordons.
Cordons. Okay. What's the difference?
Espalier is on a trellis or a fence or something, and it's making those branches go sideways, almost like grapes.
Okay.
And say you had two horizontal, well, you'd have the central leader come up and go on the first one, and then that central leader would come up and go to the next one, horizontal.
Sure, I can
and
see
you,
it.
And then you could even do a third one. And it is really a great space saver.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them some in photographs and stuff, three and four types of horizontals, and on a wall, and they're picking plums out of the picking fruit, I should say, off the second story window.
Oh, sure, yeah, that sounds very European or Mediterranean,
yeah, and
something.
That's it's very heavy pruning, and you have to be patient with it. You know, because it's going to
getting it into
its
position
it
and into the trellis,
and it's going to take more. Like most fruit trees, when you plant them, you start getting fruit in 3 years, maybe 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Those are probably going to take over five.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yeah, depending on if it's two, I don't know how many horizontal branches you're going to have.
So trellis might be next to a building.
Yeah.
I guess a trellis could just be built out there in the orchard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're putting all these apple trees in there and they're going to trellis them, they must have to build some sort out there.
Yeah, they'll be similar to
grapevine,
maybe a little bit taller.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I kind of like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's...
You can put more in, get more production, and it's
seems
a little
like
bit...
a very organized way to grow on my guess.
Yeah, and stuff. So anyways, the espalier is one way. The cordon is more used for pears.
Okay.
And it was quite the rage in France, or let's just say Europe, and for the big wealthy estates, and they did it in all their walls. And they made patterns, hair bone patterns. They did all sorts of funny things.
Uh-huh. You know. They had people just tending to those.
Yeah, and that's all they did.
That's all they did.
Yeah.
Shapes of characters and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it was all malls.
Yeah. All right. I think we have a phone call out there. Can't see it on my screen, but good evening, caller. Are you there?
I am here.
Hi.
Great. Who are we speaking with tonight?
Hey, my name is Bill.
Hi, Bill. What's going on?
I'm very happily listening to all of the conversation that you guys are, you know, doing, and it makes me kind of think of what's going on in Washington State right now and other states where it grow apples, and a lot of the things that are going on is the genetically modified apple that doesn't seem to kind of go bad. You know, it seems to sustain itself pretty well just on its own self. And, you know, like they don't turn brown when you cut them anymore, those kind of things.
Right.
And I was just seeing where the farmers are and if those kind of things are an important part, you know, of what's kind of an inspectionist as I am, that just thought I'd ask that question.
About GMO apples?
Yes.
Yeah. I actually have never heard of it, but I don't think anybody in this area will plant them.
Well, that's a good answer. I just know that that all of those things are kind of like very important, and you know, the crops and like more than just the apples, but the corn and things like that that are being planted these days are being resistant to certain things. And, you know, it just kind of thought, well, if they're replanting 75-year-old plantations, that, you know, just kind of thought, what'd be really interesting to find out what exactly they're planting.
Yeah, well, those apples I mentioned are going to be heirloom apples that are really old, probably, you know, a variety that's early American or maybe from Europe, you know. And we will, just so you know, that we're going to have a – I've never talked about this on the radio, but we're going to have a show on GMOs, food crops, probably in March and stuff. So, but I don't see anybody planting those things. And, you know, it's sort of crazy – you say that it lasts longer than the shelf and stuff like that. If anything, any produce lasts forever on the shelf, you're putting the farmers out of market. Because there's this, it's on the market and it's shelf, and they don't need any because they have a stockpile.
Right.
So those kind of developments are really not for the people, let alone the farmers.
Well, fantastic. I appreciate your response. Yeah.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks, Bill. I appreciate the call and the question, because I'm looking forward to that show. That's going to be good.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, interesting. GMO fruit.
Mangoes in Hawaii.
Sure.
Yeah, mangoes. That's a Mediterranean fruit fly.
Oh, okay.
And just because I know a friend that's an organic farmer on the island of Kauai.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so anyways. But just going back to Espalier, any of your fruit trees will work on that. Yeah. Yeah, they'll work. And you just got to...
have the patience and go for a technique.
Yep.
Sounds kind of fun. Can't tell if we have another caller. We're having a little technical difficulty here, but... I just want to say that I'm enjoying the birds out there right now. It's one of the things that I notice first thing in the fall is when it's quiet in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for when the birds start singing. And I've heard a little bit of that, even with as cold as it's been.
Yeah, well, you got nice big trees. And
a couple robins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So we've got another caller on the line. Good evening, caller.
Hi, guys. It's Max.
Hi, Max. That's... How are you?
I'm fine. I'm opening my garage door.
Sounds like it.
Didn't that sound like a freight train going off? back in the earlier part of your program, you guys were talking about vines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I am thinking I want to try some kiwi. What do you guys think?
Oh, kiwi? Well, there is a hardy kiwi.
Uh-huh.
And it's not the kind that they sell in the market.
Well, of course not. There's... very little things you can buy in the market that we grow.
Yeah, you know, but it can be done. I have seen it. I think you're going to want a little, somehow make it a little bit of acid soil. Get some leaf mold from underneath the gamble oaks.
Okay.
You know, that kind of stuff, or cottonwoods. That will be more acid, even the aspens. And, you know, do you have a protected south-facing slope or near the house? Okay. The kiwis, the regular kiwi from New Zealand.
Correct.
Okay. They might be able to make it. They need a male plant. And I don't know how many male plants to female plants you need.
I think from what I've seen, they're pretty much the old school thing of 1-to-1.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if that applies to plant life or people life, but what I've read is just 1-to-1, but you have to have something a little hardy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wondered if you had anybody that had ever tried or grown any.
No. And I suspect if you wanted to try it in this area, you might have to do like the fig tree and bury it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're in west of Montrose.
Yeah, but I suspect.
We've got blueberries growing here, but we had to put them in a pot, a big pot, and acidify the soil as they were if they were up where they were growing.
Yeah.
Sure. Anyway. Sure. Because kind of the same thing with the kiwi. That's what you're saying, Lance.
Yeah. But the New Zealand kiwi might not be winter hardy, but things you never know. It's sort of when we're getting climate change and you might get two or three crops in a row and then it might freeze to the ground and you start over.
Well, I didn't know because I figured you would probably know of anybody that had tried it.
I haven't not run into kiwis yet.
Kiwi and Montrose, that's great, Max.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen hardy kiwi on Redlands Mesa.
Outside there you go. I mean,
the hardy kiwi. I have not seen the store. And I had a sister and brother-in-law living in Chico, and they sent me care packages of baskets of the kiwi. It actually stores quite well.
Oh.
And
it's also a member of the gooseberry, right?
It might be. It might be. But anyways.
Yeah, it's part of the gooseberry, and some of that grows around here in the bottom.
Sure, sure. So anyways, we think of this perfectly sized kiwi. Well, they were sending me the deformed ones.
Oh, yeah.
And they would be like a five-fingered kiwi. And it'd be three times the size of a regular kiwi. And that's what I was getting. It was really pretty fun.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I never expected that kind of an answer when I called you guys up.
We're looking forward to your kiwi crop, Max. Yeah. That's going to be fun.
You'd have to go to a California nursery to order those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you wanted to.
I have three of them available right now. We've been talking about it.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
I'd go for it.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Why not? So, thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Good to hear from you, Max. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
All right, some good stuff happening out there. Rutabagas, kiwi.
Kiwi, yeah.
No GMO apples.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll talk maybe ornamental stuff next week.
Okay.
You say you might not be here next week?
We shall see.
We shall see.
So the show will go on.
The show will go on. So hopefully we'll talk those kind of things.
Okay, good deal. So it is Lady Lou coming up next with One Woman's Perspective. And As the Worm Comes is back next Tuesday at 6:30. Thanks for listening to KVNF. Thanks, Lance.
Yeah, have a good evening. Good night.
Slow and fast. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Lowly, the low and